You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. We just heard how workers at Garawan Farming voted to decertify the UFW. And that's just part of the story of why the union has been shrinking for decades. Matter of fact, most unions have been shrinking since the 80s. But the details of the UFW's rise and fall are mostly unknown. The Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist and author Miriam Powell spent hundreds of hours interviewing former UFW members, and she wrote a book called The Union of Their Dreams, Power, Hope, and Struggle in Cesar Chavez's Farm Worker Movement. She also wrote the very first biography of Cesar Chavez. KALW's economy reporter Liza Veal has Powell's account of the story.
When Miriam Powell first moved to California to work at the LA Times in 2000, she got curious about the dismal working conditions on farms. She started asking what had happened to the union famous for leading the farm worker movement in the 60s and 70s.
Everyone I spoke to who was really deeply involved with farm workers was like, the UFW doesn't do anything anymore for farm workers.
She found that the story of how that got to be was largely unknown, even to some of the family members of the people involved.
The kids of a lot of these people talked to me and said, like, thank you for doing this because my parents would never talk about what happened.
They knew about the rise of the UFW, but its fall was more mysterious, in part because, according to Powell, Cesar Chavez had become almost a religious figure. So to many people, his union was beyond criticism. But Powell wanted to give him his proper due, which meant an unflinching record of his life.
I actually became convinced by some historian friends that, you know, that I mean, nobody knew who he was. He'd been reduced to this really sort of one-dimensional character, and he's the face on the postage stamp and, you know, the name on the schools and the streets. But I ultimately decided that it really detracted from his rightful place in history.
Like all California kids, I got the day off school on Cesar Chavez Day. Posters of the Great Boycott and Chavez's face were all over my classrooms. I learned how farm work hadn't been included in the national labor laws that gave other workers minimum wage, unemployment insurance, workers' comp, and everything else. I learned how people thought farm workers couldn't be unionized because they didn't have citizenship, they didn't speak English, and how the UFW proved everyone wrong. But from its height to the present day, a lot has happened.
So this union that made its, you know, that achieved this kind of remarkable success for the poorest workers in the state by, you know, si se puede, by not accepting that they couldn't do things and by instilling in people this belief that collective action could accomplish things, begins to see itself as a victim.
That union has become the organization that was recently voted off one of its largest farms by workers. How? Powell puts the big turning point at 1975. Cesar Chavez had been leading the growing movement for a decade. They'd won the very first farm worker strikes and contracts. They'd involved the whole country in boycotts. They'd created protections for immigrants. And Chavez was the commander-in-chief.
He used to say that, you know, his favorite role was to be the nonviolent Viet Cong. And, you know, to do guerrilla warfare. And that was what he loved. And he loved picking those fights.
Civil disobedience, lawsuits, strikes.
All of that he loved.
Then, in 1975, they won what seemed like a big victory. The UFW successfully pushed for the creation of the Agricultural Labor Relations Board, like the industry's own version of the National Labor Relations Board, which farm workers had always been excluded from. The ALRB would legally recognize unions and settle disputes between employers and employees. Most significantly, it would suddenly make it much easier for farms to unionize.
It was huge. I mean, there's this huge pent-up demand.
But the problem, it changed everything about the role of Cesar Chavez's UFW.
So suddenly, this organization has to make the pivot from being a movement that is fighting all of these battles to being an organization that has a bureaucracy. And Cesar Chavez was really aware of this, and he had very mixed feelings from the start.
Because instead of commanding the union like a military, he'd have to delegate. Many of the UFW organizers on the ground knew they needed new structures, hopefully democratic ones, so the organization could grow and be able to run itself without constant command from the top. But when they tried to push for changes, they were seen as challenging Cesar Chavez's movement. A split in the leadership formed along this question.
Are we a movement or are we a union?
Are we authoritarian in structure, or can we have a leadership structure that's more dispersed and responsive from the bottom up?
And Chavez was like casting around for this way to preserve the union as he wants it to be and as a movement. And that requires kind of getting rid of people who are going to challenge that vision or be a problem for him.
Literally just kicking people out, anyone that showed any defiance. And this is the part of the story that has been difficult for UFW supporters to digest. The former leaders that Powell interviewed say around this time, Chavez started to really change. He'd become a hero to so many people, and yet he wasn't open to letting the organization grow bigger than him.
The thing escalates, and then ultimately part of the getting rid of people involves this meeting that becomes known as the Monday Night Massacre in April of 1977.
In which several high-ranking members were kicked out of the organization in a single community-wide meeting.
That meeting was the sort of the first and the most dramatic of the public purges.
After that, the union kind of shriveled into itself instead of expanding and growing.
They stopped organizing, and I think everyone would say that.
Because the more you organize, meaning engage and train members to take on more responsibility, the more problems those members can potentially cause the leadership, you know, with their ideas and sense of ownership. So Powell says Chavez made excuses not to organize.
He began to say, well, we can't organize. There's no point because it's a Republican administration, because this, because that. And so this union begins to see itself as a victim and begins to portray itself as a victim.
It's true that unions were under attack at this time. For example, a few years later, Reagan would fire over 11,000 government workers for striking, sending a chill through the labor movement. And it's true that Chavez's union wasn't the only one to begin shrinking. But the UFW is an example of the kinds of unions that fell the fastest. Instead of creating democratic structures to channel growing energy from the bottom, Chavez squashed it.
The union never was a democratic institution from the beginning, but it had he was able to maintain the sort of fiction that it was democratic for a long time. And then he began, that began to unravel. Begins to unravel because of the workers. And because there is leadership that is rising up in the fields through the union, he sees it as a real threat.
Powell says, in particular, there are leaders that rise out of a big strike, the Imperial Valley Lettuce Strike in 1979. And the farm workers organized and won that strike themselves and got some of the best contracts in UFW history. But when leaders of the strike tried to run to be on the board of the UFW as rank-and-file farm worker leaders rather than UFW staff hand-picked by Chavez, Chavez fires them. There's a whole lawsuit over it, but in the end, even though the insurgent leaders win it, the UFW community shunned them.
They're pariahs. No one will hire them. They've been drummed out. And so this generation of farm workers who really could and should have been the leadership of the union, is gone.
Without a big staff capable of organizing new farms and keeping existing farms organized, workers lost touch with the UFW, just like the workers on Garawan farming. This was worsened by a lot of other obstacles, legal changes that made it even harder to unionize new places, changes to the agriculture industry that shut down farms that had been UFW strongholds in the past. But in Powell's mind, there's another piece to the story, which is the union took farm workers for granted.
And it was like, here we are, we're here to save you, and, you know, you should embrace us. If you're against us, you're either stupid or ignorant, you know, because you couldn't possibly not support us for any other reason, or you're bought by the grower. I mean, that's the usual thing. And so I think that that arrogance, which is shared by some other unions at some points too, you know, of sort of like, we're an obvious good and we don't have to tell you why, has really hurt them.
One of the reasons the story of the fall of the UFW is so unknown is people who support unions don't want to publicize their failures. Powell says in her reporting, she had to convince a lot of people to break a lifetime of silence.
Because they still viewed the UFW as the best hope for farm workers. So it was like, you know, we don't believe in the course that it was taking, that the union was taking and that Chavez was taking it in, but we don't want to say anything because we still think that it is the best way to help farm workers.
But Powell says people may be right that the UFW is the best way to help farm workers, but not if we don't push it to be better. Not talking about the failures of unions, that's giving up on them and the workers they exist for.
Miriam Powell is the author of The Union of Their Dreams, Power, Hope, and Struggle in Cesar Chavez's Farm Worker Movement. She spoke with KALW economy reporter Liza Veal. You can reach Liza at economy@kalw.org.